Guys, you can be seated. Thank you so much for having me this morning. It is a privilege to be here with you guys at Believers Church. And so I want to introduce my tribe real quick. PC, I know y'all call him PC. Our church calls me PC as well. Thank you for that introduction. Melanie, we love you. Thank you so much for having us here as well. The last time I saw their kids, y'all came to our house. And they were a lot younger, and they've grown up a lot more, and we love Mabel and Emma. Let me introduce my tribe real quick. This is my beautiful wife of 22 years this September right here, and then we have my oldest, Annabelle, right here, who is engaged, got engaged a couple of weeks ago on a trip we going across the our state or our country. Then we have Eli, my oldest. He's 17. Then we have Gian right here, who is 16. And then my youngest, who is kind of like the princess warrior, is over there in your kids area. And so probably making herself known. Oh, you want me to use this? Making herself known. You want me to go ahead and cut this off back here? I gotcha. Making herself known. She is like, wherever she goes, everybody knows Emma. And so that is my tribe, and we're excited to be here. Again, I'm the pastor of Genesis Church. We're about 12 years old. We launched. We are part of ARC, as PC said, or Pastor Clint said. And it's just it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be, you know, friends with you. I'm glad we met when Matt Fry came into town. And so, but we're here today. And really what I want to do, and for those of you that are watching online, I don't want to forget you guys. Thank you so much for joining Believers Church today. I want to encourage you to plug in here if you've been watching online because of COVID-19 and you haven't joined. It's safe here. You can come, get connected. It's better in person. I promise you that. Isn't that right, church? Better in person? Right. And so, great church. But follow along with us as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and pull them out. Or if you have your talk notes or on YouVersion, you can do that as well. We're going to go to the book of Jonah. If you don't know kind of where Jonah is, it's between Obadiah and Micah. If you don't know kind of like where that is, it's okay to go to the table of contents. That is not cheating by any means. It's in page 959 in my Bible, if that helps you a little bit. But, you know, a lot of times when we hear Jonah, or the book of Jonah, we think, you know, that's a kid's story. That's what we do over in kids' church. And, you know, you grew up here in Jonah. Jonah kind of was this runaway prophet, kind of being disobedient to God. And basically the story is he got swallowed by a well, lit up a candle inside the well's belly. Next thing you know, the well spit him up on the sea, and he got to be a boy for the rest of his life. Just kidding. That's Pinocchio. But Jonah's story is a story about a runaway prophet, about a prophet that God calls to do something incredible, and yet said, you know what, God, I don't want to do that. And today what I hope we'll discover, and we're only going to look at Jonah chapter 1, cannot do the entire book, but today what I hope you'll discover is something that God has shown me, that there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. So if you have your Bibles open, we're going to dive right on into Jonah chapter 1. We're going to go 1 through 3, and then we'll dive right back into it as well. Now, how do you guys like to participate in messages? I can hear you with Pastor Clint up here. So our church participates. And so they'll have the notes with you if you're following online. You can come participate as well. But it says this, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. And this is what God said. He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come before me. And then verse 3, we see a very negative response, really, unfortunately, of Jonah. And this is what happened. It says, but Jonah did what? What does the Bible say? Ran away. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, but what did Jonah? Ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to do what? To flee. Twice. You see Jonah running and Jonah fleeing from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And what I want to do real quick is I want to look at just a few things in this passage that we just read. Just kind of a little bit about Jonah, Jonah's name. See, a lot of us, we know Jonah as the prophet, but many scholars believe Jonah is really known as the reluctant prophet. the word of the Lord came to Jonah, but Jonah's like, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to go somewhere else. But here's something you need to know about Jonah's name if you're taking notes this morning. Jonah's name actually means dove, or his name means the peaceful one. So you have the peaceful one of God who used to obey God, now on the run from God. And then you see another name that is there, Amittai, who is his father. And the word Amittai means truth. How cool is that to be known as the son of truth? But yet the son of truth is not speaking truth. Instead, he's on the run from God. Another thing you see in this passage of Scripture, Nineveh. What is Nineveh? Nineveh was actually, during that day, was known as the capital of Assyria. And they were really, literally, if you're taking notes, they were the worst enemy Israel had known at that moment. And this is the people that God had called Jonah to go to. If you want to kind of know modern day, kind of Assyria Empire, the Ninevites, that's about Iraq, a little bit of Iran area. That's kind of where that is. And God called him, hey, you need to go there and preach a message. If you know anything about his story, a message of repentance. And Jonah says, not going to happen. But I want to do something real quick. I want to look at verse 1 again. And I want you to kind of lean into this morning, because I really believe God wants to speak something to each and every one of us. Because this is what the Bible says in Jonah 1, verse 1. Help me out. It says, the what? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. I really believe this morning that the word of the Lord will come to us. The word of the Lord will speak. God is a speaking God. In the beginning, it says, God spoke and said, let there be light, and it was so. God created Adam and Eve to love someone and then have them choose to love him back. And God would come down, what, in the cool of the day, and what, and speak to Adam. I mean, God is a speaking God. Throughout history, God has spoken in different ways. God has spoken in an audible voice. God has spoken through his prophets. God has spoken through circumstances. God has spoken through the Holy Spirit. God speaks through his word. If you've never heard the voice of the Lord speak, if you open up his word, guess what? You will hear God speak. Why? Because God is a speaking God. The Bible is described as this double-edged sword, and it pierces. Why? Because when you read God's word, it communicates truth to you, to change something in you, to give you direction to go somewhere, to actually call you into something that God has a special plan or purpose for your life. The word of the Lord comes. And here's the thing. Are you going to be obedient to when God speaks to you? Or are we going to be like Jonah? Who's like, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to obey. Because here's the thing that God often does, if you're taking notes, is when God comes to you, he will often ask you to do things you do not want to do. Amen? Anybody ever been there? God asks you to do, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, God. I don't know if I'm cut out for that. I don't know if that's what I want to do. And the reason why we kind of push back is a lot of times we think we know what's best. Amen? We think we know what's best for our life, for our family, sometimes for our church. For example, how many of you guys like chocolate? Where's my chocolate lovers, okay? How many of you think chocolate stinks and vanilla is better? Come on, some hand. Y'all voted twice over there. So I get both of them. See, because we think, oh, I know it's better. I know it's best. Chocolate's better. Vanilla, no good. Vanilla's better. Chocolate puts pounds on you. I don't, you know, no chocolate. And so we push back on things, or sometimes someone in authority will come and say, hey, this is the way you need to do it. And we push back. I think I know what's best. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we got back from a 15-day trip, 19 states, 6,300 miles driving. I did all the driving. We went everywhere. But one of the stops we stopped at was the Grand Canyon. I had done a lot of research on the Grand Canyon. And I was like, hey, boys, we're going to hike to the Colorado River. And my boy's like, yes, let's do it. And we're really excited about it.
But everywhere that I saw about the Colorado River, it kept saying, do not try to walk to the Colorado River in one day. You cannot do it. And I was like, they don't know what they're talking about. We're in shape. We can do this. Well, we get there. Pull in and we start going down this trail, which literally last week someone died on the trail that we were on, which kind of like, oh, thank you. We didn't go all the way down there. But so we're starting in, and about 20 minutes in, Heidi and Emma says, not happening. We're turning around. So two of my tribe abandoned us. The other four are like, hey, we can do this. We got this. So we start down, or five of us. Luke was with us. So we start down, and it's getting hard. It's getting harder, and it's getting harder. My knees are like telling me, hey, you're almost 50 years old. You don't want to do this. So finally, I asked this experienced hiker coming up. And I said, hey, man, I said, I got a quick question. How far did you go? He said, too far. I said, okay. I said, how hard is this trail to get to Colorado River? He said, well, here's this. For every hour down, it's 2 hours back up. And then right off the bat, I was like, we're not doing this. Boys, Annabelle, we're turning around. And everybody was in agreement. Let's turn around. And we went 3 miles on a 9-mile hike. Because I thought I knew what was best for our family, that we could do this. And it literally almost killed us. And a lot of times we feel like we know what's best in our lives, and the word of the Lord will come to us. And we're like, nah, that's not good enough. That is the context of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and this is how he responded. God said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah hears that. And we would think, well, Jonah's a prophet. Jonah had obeyed God before. Why didn't Jonah just go and preach the gospel? Why didn't Jonah just go and preach the message that God had given him? Why did he just say, no, I'm not doing that? Well, because Jonah thought he knew what was best for Jonah. And maybe we can give Jonah a little slack when we know who the Ninevites were. Like I said earlier, they were the worst enemy Israel had ever known. And something just kind of about the history of the Ninevites, the Syrian Empire. Studies show and history shows that literally when cities would hear that the Assyrian army was coming, that the entire, instead of being captured and slaughtered and tortured, the entire city, the entire village would commit suicide because of what they knew was going to take place. So you can read in the history books that when they would come in and they would siege a city, they would kill almost all of the men. They would take the women and the young ladies, and every one of them would be raped and killed. They would torture the young boys. The men that they left alive, they literally would take them outside of the city. They would skin them alive, bury them in the desert, pull out their tongues and drive a stake through it and watch them torture themselves as they die. You can read about this. You can Google it if you want. They're a ruthless people. And so as they're out there being tortured, and Jonah knows who these people are. And he's like, hey, God, I know you think you know what's best, but I can't do this. I'm not going here. I'm not going to go speak to these people. Thank God you got this one wrong. Because Jonah thought he knew what was best for himself. And you know, maybe, just maybe, you know, we don't know all of the story of Jonah, but just maybe Jonah knew someone that had faced that. Or maybe Jonah had a family member that faced that, went through that. Or maybe he had another prophet friend who went through that. And he's like, God, I'm not going. I hate these people. I despise these people. I'm not going here. Yet the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah's like, no, I'm not doing this. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe the word of the Lord has come to you. Maybe God has spoken something specific to you. Maybe it is along the lines where God says, hey, I want you to offer forgiveness. I want you to forgive just as I have forgiven you. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't know, God. And we push back on the word of the Lord, that the Lord has come to us. And we're like, they don't deserve forgiveness, God. God, do you know how bad they have hurt me? Do you know what they have done? Or maybe as Christ followers, we've heard the teaching of tithing. Yeah. And we're like, okay, I know the Bible says to tithe. And I've been a follower for quite some time. And we know that the Bible says to return, that we are to here to manage the resources that God has given us. And that we're to return the tithe. We don't give the tithe. We return it because it belongs to Him. And we're like, yeah, but God, I like my things. And so we push back. And yet the word of the Lord has come to us. Or maybe you're dating. You know, you're young and you're dating. And he really looks good, girls. You know, and guys, she really smells good. You know, and you start dating and you start, you know, kind of doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. You're messing around in areas you shouldn't be messing around. And the word of the Lord will come to you and say, hey, wait, time out. That's for marriage. You don't want to do that. Don't want to go down that road. And yet we push back and we say, no, God, I know you think you know what's best, but this is what I want to do. That is the Jonah in all of us. The word of the Lord comes to us, and we say, you know what, God, I really don't care what you want. I'm going to do my own thing. How many times have we done that before? Or maybe that's not where you are. Maybe you're along the lines of about 90% of Christ followers. It's not that they're deliberately running from God. It's this where they say, hey, God, I'll get to it later. You know, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. When God commands, hey, go ahead and do the later. You know, it's kind of like how we teach our kids. Anybody else kind of do this? We do this. We fall into that trap. Where you tell your kid to do something, especially when they're teenagers. I have them, so I know. You ask them to do something, you're like, hey, go ahead and do this. Okay, I will later. No, go ahead and do it now. No. Like, really? Don't make me come over there? And then you start to count. 1, 2. If I get to 3, so help me. 2.5. You know, what are you teaching them? You're teaching them delayed obedience. That's exactly what we're teaching. You know, there's an amazing pastor in California that wrote a book. His name's Aaron McManus. And in this, he talks about spiritual maturity. And he talks about this thing called lag time and what spiritual maturity looks like in believers. And he says, whenever God gives us a command in Scripture, or whenever God speaks to us or prompts us, the lag time is between spiritual maturity and immaturity. So if the lag time is long, you're an immature Christ follower. If there is no lag time, God speaks, then you're spiritually mature. You understand that which God is calling you to do, and you go and do that. You're obedient to the word of the Lord. Here's the thing. Where do you fall in that time frame? What is your lag time? Have you thought about that? When God calls us, when the word of the Lord comes to us, are we a church, talking about big church, not little C church, not believers church, not Genesis church, big church. Are we a church that hears the word of the Lord and we obey it? And we do that which God has called us to do. And I really believe that when you look at society today, the church has failed. And a lot of times we're more immature as believers than we are mature believers, because there's a lot of lag time. When the word of the Lord comes to you, God will often speak and call you to do something you don't want to do. And when he does that, here's thought number 2, is you'll always find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. Ever felt like God called you to do something? You're like, hey, I want to do what God calls me to do. And then next thing you know, you're just headed in the wrong direction. You ever been there before? And you're like, how am I going? I wanted to go this way, but I'm going this way. This is the story of Jonah. It says this, where Jonah, God calls him to go preach to the Ninevites. Verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him, but he ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. Then he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish because he was running from the Lord. You know how far Tarshish is from Nineveh? 2,500 miles. Some studies say it would have taken him a year to get to where he was going sailing. That's a lot of running from the Lord. Ever been there? You ever have those restless nights, months, sometimes years, when God has been tugging at you and pulling you and calling you, and yet we're kind of running from God? And maybe you're sitting next to someone right now. You think they have it all together, but they know deep down inside, you know, we're good at fooling people, not fooling God, you know. Come on. Hey, I'll speak for Chris Miller. We're good at letting everybody think we got the game going on, but inside we know it's not. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe everybody else thinks, man, he's got it going on. She's got it going on. Look at her raising their hands, singing worship songs. And yet, there's something, there's some lag time going on in our lives. And we're out, we're running from the Lord. And the word of the Lord has come, but we're on a different boat. We're headed in a different direction than where God has called us to go. And what you need to understand is, guys, you can run for a little while, but you can't run forever. It's the story of Jonah. Jonah ran a little while, but God's like, no, this mission's too important. Listen, people are too important. You may run a little while, but you won't run for long. Or maybe you're not running. Maybe you're like, hey, you know what, Pastor Chris, I'm not running. Maybe you're drifting. You know, every year we try to do, when we take our kids to the beach. I am a mountain guy. I love the mountains. My wife is a beach girl. She loves the beach. I hate the beach. It's too much work. You know, where are you guys? You towed everything out. You towed everything back in. You got to wash it down because it got sand everywhere. And your kids and your wife kind of going on. You're carrying everything, pulling the wagon. Hate the beach. The mountains, you just get out and enjoy everything, you know. But we rent a condo just about every year in Hilton Head. And I remember this one time, me and the boys were out throwing ball, and we were throwing ball for quite some time. I look back and I'm like, hey, where's the condo? And we had no idea that we had been drifting. And we were like four condos down, just drifting. Unintentionally, unaware that that's kind of where we were. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're just slowly drifting. You know, at one point in your life, you were really close to God, you know. God was answering your prayers, you know, and you pray a prayer and God answers. You're like, oh my God, God answered my prayer. You know, you'd read the word and all of a sudden you felt like God was speaking to you and it was coming alive. You'd come to church and you're like, Pastor Clint knows all my, he's reading my emails. He knows all my junk. And like God is just speaking directly to you and you literally thought he made that message just for you. And yet God is speaking, and then all of a sudden, at some point, you miss church. At some COVID-19 hit, and we check out. And we try to do online, for online listeners, we love you. But we try to do online, it's just not the same, amen? We make it the best we can make it. Pastor Clint makes it the best, but it's not the same as being with the body and of Christ, believers. And so we drift. So we miss church a little bit. Then we stop reading God's word. We kind of put it on the coffee table, open it up to our favorite passage of scripture. So when people come in, we look spiritual, you know. And so we do that, but we don't even read it, you know. And we get our daily verse, the dings, and we might look at that. But yet all of a sudden we realize, where am I at? How far have I gone? It's not that you ran. You drifted. You unintentionally drifted away from the Lord. When the word of the Lord comes to you, you'll always find, you may not like what you hear, you'll always find a boat headed in the wrong direction. And when you're drifting and when you're running from God, here's the third thought if you're taking notes, is God may send a storm to get your attention. Listen what happens in verse 4. Jonah's on the run. It says, then the Lord sent. Notice who sent it. Then the Lord sent. Not all of a sudden, hey, great storm just happened. No, it says the Lord sent a great wind. Such a violent storm arose and the ship threatened to break up. Now, here's something you need to know about this ship. This was a cargo ship. It was a strong ship. It was made of sailors, tough men. Yet, in the middle of this storm, they recognize, hey, this ain't normal. This ain't what we're used to, boys. The boat's about to break. This is somebody's fault. God is mad at someone. And what do? They do this little lottery thing, trying to figure out who God's mad at. You want to know why they did that? Because when all hell is breaking loose, you're looking for someone to point at, right? Generally speaking, sometimes it's us. And it fell on Jonah. All of a sudden, they're like, Jonah, what have you done? And Jonah's like, hey, it's my fault, guys. And they're like, who are you, dude? You're causing all of this? Who are you, Jonah? And I love his response. Verse 8, this is what Jonah answered. He said, I am a Hebrew. And listen to how he describes himself. He says, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord God of heaven. You know, if I was a sailor, I'd stop and say, time out. Do you really worship God because you're causing all of this? Come on. How often is that when all hell is breaking loose and we're like, And we're saying, you know, it might be sister so-and-so over there or brother so-and-so, the reason why all this is happening. You know they messed up. You know, times pass. And God's like, no, time out, time out. It's you. I'm trying to get your attention. I sent this your direction because you're drifting or you're running deliberately. Hello, wake up. And Jonah's like, hey, I am a worshiper of the Lord God of heaven who made the seas and the land. And this terrified them and they asked, what in the world have you done? These aren't believers in God, but they're about to be. They're like, what have you done? Because they knew he was running from the Lord. You know, I don't know all the problems that America is facing, but I know one of the problems that America is facing. And one of the problems that America is facing is the church is not being the church. One of the problems that America is facing is we as Christ followers wear a badge of Christianity, but yet we live every day of our lives as if God doesn't exist. It's cultural Christianity. I'm a Christian in name, not in action. And we look at the problems of the world and we're like, how did we get here? Well, that's because the church began to drift. And some of us in the church began to run because we didn't like the word of the Lord that came to us. And I know sometimes we're like, hey, you know what? I'll serve God as long as God's good to me. As long as God keeps giving me the promotions, as long as God gets me to girl guys, or as long as, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or if God comes through here. And we serve God based off what he does for us, not who he is. And that's where I think Genesis Church, and probably nobody here has ever done that. Where the world is looking for the church that have answers, and yet the church is just as messed up as the world at times in our lives. And we say, hey, no, I am a worshiper of God. You ever said that? No, I'm a worshiper of God. I worship the one true God, and then yet we go home at times, and I know this is nobody here, but we go home at times and we yell at our spouse and our children, and we let our anger and our temper get the best of us, and we're like, wait a minute, really? Or we go play golf, or we go hunting. We miss the shot, either trying to chip it in or the actual shot of whatever it is that we have in our scope and the crossbars, and we miss it, and we use the word GD. And we're like, but I'm a worshiper of God. That's what I do. Or maybe, you know, you're like, I'm a worshiper of God, but, you know, our marriage hasn't been really great lately. It's kind of been poor. I know we have no grounds for divorce, but we'd just be happy if we weren't together, and so we check out. But then we say, but we're worshipers of God. That's who we are. And that's exactly what's going on. You got all these men freaking out, and they're like, hey, whoa. And Jonah says, I am a worshiper of God. And like, we don't know, because what we're seeing right now doesn't tell us. And Jonah's like, I'm on the run. God's called me to do something, and I don't want to obey. They're freaking out. And here's the thing I think we really need to recognize, the Jonah in all of us, is a lot of times our private rebellion that only we know about, only God knows about. We think, oh, that's not going to hurt anybody. No one will ever find out. Don't kid yourself. Don't. At some point, your private rebellion will begin to hurt those around you. And maybe you'll wake up like Jonah and say, hey, this is my fault. I'm the one who's caused this. And he said, hey, throw me overboard. If you throw me overboard, the storm will stop. Throw me into the sea, verse 12 says. And he says, this great storm that has come your way will stop. And they're like, no, we're not doing that. We don't know you do, but we're not doing that. So they throw their cargo over, their livelihood. They try to row back. That doesn't work. Finally, they get to the point, hey, listen, we're all going to die. So it'd be better he die than all of us. And so that's exactly what they did. They actually were kind of freaking out a little bit about what's going on. In verse 12, they grab Jonah. And they do what we would consider horrible in a human mind. You'd literally throw the man to his death. But yet God was working in something going on. They throw him over. He gets swallowed by a whale, or great fish, as the Bible says. Nasty. Nastiest thing ever. For 3 days. Can you imagine the smell of Jonah? Gets swallowed up. And here's the last thought as we get ready to close. Is Jonah's worst nightmare was exactly what he needed. Think about it. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah's like, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm running. And he did. He ran. Then God sent this storm. Tried to get his attention. Didn't work. Then God's like, okay, that ain't going to work. Your worst nightmare, Jonah, is about to happen to get your attention. And they threw him overboard. Verse 15, 16, and 17 says this. The crew threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord and the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord made vow, and they made vows to him. Verse 17 says, but the Lord did what? What did the Lord do? He provided a great fish. The Lord provided the storm. He sent the storm. Now he's providing Jonah's worst nightmare, man. He gets swallowed up in the belly of a well for 3 days and 3 nights. What Jonah would see as his worst nightmare was God using it as a redemption plan. And here's the thing maybe you need to think about. Maybe some of you are facing that worst nightmare now. Maybe it's a financial nightmare. There's been a lot of people have gone through financial nightmares during COVID-19. We have them in our church, and I'm sure you probably have them here as well. And maybe God's saying, hey, I've been trying to get your attention, but maybe now I have it. Now I have it right now. Or maybe you're going through a relational problem, and you're doing everything you can to save, and God's like, hey, now I have your attention. Now you're going to lean on me and listen to what I have to say. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying every bad thing that comes your way is because of God. But I am saying that God will use or often send that storm or your worst nightmare to wake you up if you're drifting or running from God. And here's the thing. When he does that, and he often does, all you got to do is read the Bible, you'll see that. When he does that, he does it because he loves you. He does it because he's for you. He's not against you. He does that because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He does that because he has a city, Believers Church, to reach. He does that because he knows there are lost people like the Ninevites that are lost and going to a Christless eternity. And he's like, hey, I have people right here in the city. Let me stir them a little bit. Because I need them to live up to their full potential that I've called them to. Here, I'll give you a real life example right now. The word of the Lord has come to you today. You choose. Do I obey and do what God's calling you to do? And I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking that into you right now. Or you disobey and run. like Jonah. The choice is yours. I say we obey God, amen? I say we follow what he's called us to do. I say you go out and reach a lost city for Jesus Christ, amen? Your neighbors, your family members, the ones you don't like. Come on, we all have them. Yeah, someone's like, amen, yeah. Reach them for Jesus Christ, amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your word, because the word of the Lord has come to us today. You are a speaking God. And God, I pray right now for Believers Church. Believers are gathered all in here. And God, we are all at different places in our journey. And thank you that you are not only the God of the masses, but you are God of the one. And God, that you listen and you pay attention. And God, you are involved in every aspect of our life. And you're calling us to obedience. You're calling us to accomplish that which you've given the church. God, I pray that you would rise up here in Believers Church, men and women that are obedient to the word of the Lord that has come to them. And they'll do that which you have called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.